You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Alan Seals.
And I'm Liz Esten.
And welcome to Carried Away, a podcast where we explore the films and television shows of the one and only James Eugene Carey. All right, guys, let's In Living Color Season 2. Let's not pretense. We did one already. We're doing Season 2 and just continuing on. In Living Color is a show that Season 2 ran from September 23rd, 1990 to September 1st, 1991. It started only 3 weeks after the last season had wrapped up. Imagine those times where one season ends and then literally 3 weeks later you have the next season. Truly, truly different times. It was created by Keenan Ivory Wayans and starred Jim Carrey, Tommy Davidson, David Alan Greer, Takiya, Crystal Kima, and Kim Wayans, Kelly Cofield, and Damon Wayans. The Fly Girls included Rosie Perez, Deidre Lang, Carrie French, Carrie Ann Inaba, Lisa Marie Todd, Michelle Whitney Morrison, and Carla Garrido. And it was directed by Paul Miller. So this is the season where you kind of get everyone leaning heavily into characters.
Yeah, this is where the stuff... The season where, like, the characters that I still quote to this day were sort of repeatedly used because they were funny.
And it was easier to write and easier to shirt out.
Yeah.
We lost a cast member from the last season. The other young woman, she did not come back for this season because there was some issues between her and Keenan Ivory Wayans. They've since patched up, but it isn't noticeable, but I did see, like, hey, this feels like a little smaller group we got here standing at the end. We also had a lot of celebrity musical performances here, including Queen Latifah this season, which was amazing.
But also another bad creation, which is a thing I forgot about and then reminded of again.
What was it?
Oh, another bad creation is a hip-hop group of only tiny children singing about women breaking their heart when they're tiny children. Yeah, and they only had one hit in 1991, and it was really bad.
I'm not going to lie, the musical performances wash over to me like they do on SNL. SNL, I don't think I've ever paid attention during a musical performance ever.
Yeah.
No, the musical performances on SNL are the worst part of SNL. I will
Except when Renee Rapp is there.
Except when Renee Rapp is there, then it's like the highlight of the show. She's this, she's that, she's a flight risk on the run. She's back, yeah, I'm back, bitch, are you done? Excuse me while I bite my tongue.
There was one time I discovered Mika, M-I-K-A. I discovered Mika once, and that was like the only time I liked a musical number. But other than that, and Renee Rapp, sure. I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, guess I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I try to be like Grace Kelly, but all her looks were too sad.
I mean, it's rare. Like, in the 70s, it meant more to have, like, actual cool music. Now we have Spoofy and Apple Music and stuff like that, and we don't really need
Spoofify.
So it baffles me when we come to a variety TV show, and the one thing that is still latched on from the variety section of a TV show is the musical performances. We don't have the Muppets anymore. We don't have any of those fun Albert Brooks short films. All we got are the musical numbers and goofy gags.
I mean, that's sketch comedy. Hacha.
Yeah, but that's not variety show.
That's
not
true.
And stop marketing it as a variety show if it's an actual proper sketch comedy show, which In Living Color is. I think that In Living Color is more of a variety show than something like Mad TV would turn out to be, which is just all sketch comedy beginning to end, never stop. And the Fly Girls are a welcome kind of vibe. I love when they kind of just put come on between acts.
The Fly Girls are cool. I want to know, and maybe you do know this, Captain Research over here. Do you know how they filmed? Did they do the sketches in front of a live audience back to back like SNL
yes.
does?
I wouldn't say back to back, but like in between. And the Fly Girls are to entertain the audience in between.
Right.
The reason why I say not back to back is sometimes they will lift sketches from other episodes if you're running over, and they will mix up the orders. So it's not like everything happens consecutively in the order that they are shot.
One of the sketches, actually, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, the introducing Fire Marshal Bill sketch.
Yes.
had real fire, and then cuts to a scene where like the whole house explodes, and then there's this. I assumed they had stopped and done some makeup changes, but I mean, quick changes are a thing. You can do that.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I was just thinking during that one sketch, I was thinking, wow, did they actually do this in front of a live audience? Because the laugh track is consistent. So I assumed so, but, you know.
Nice to meet you, folks. Fire Marshal Bill here.
Won't you come in?
Don't mind if I don't.
Wow, a real fireman.
That's right, princess. Does your father always smoke a pipe?
Yes, sir.
Pipes, cigarettes, number one cause of domestic fires. Now, say one night you're drifting off to sleep on the couch and the pipe falls out of your hand like that. Now you start dreaming that you're having a little barbecue, you pull out a can of lighter fluid, boom! You're out of the
laser. Props to
and
the
sometimes
department.
They will just play a clip. Like, I think about the Pretty Woman, Jim Carrey doing a little transphobia there bit, where that is just 100% recorded separate from everything else.
By Pretty Woman. You're gonna love the sequel. Pretty Buff Woman, starring champion female bodybuilder, Vera DeMilo.
Pump up a little booty, cutie!
Right, and sometimes you still have your SNL digital shorts. That's not uncommon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if In Living Color digital shorts are that common, though. It felt very different when we had that scene.
Well, because it's like they're like literally on a street in Hollywood, like an actual street. Jim Carrey is dressed up in a gown chasing David Alan Grier.
I am not 100% sure, but it looks like the exact street they shot Pretty Woman in. I've watched Pretty Woman for the first time within the last 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm like, that looks almost identical to the one Julia Roberts was on.
I actually haven't seen Pretty Woman in probably 25 years, so don't know what you're talking about.
So I saw Pretty Woman the national tour, so I wanted to see the film beforehand in case I was confused. I didn't need to. The musical is just the movie, so I would have been fine.
Pretty Woman is a complex premise. So.
Yeah, a prostitute gets $3,000 pretend to hang out with Richard Gere.
I mean, I'd hang out with Richard Gere for $3,000.
Yeah, same.
In 1990 money, that's like $10,000.
In like today money, I'd spend a week with Richard Gere. Wait, how long was it? A week? A day?
Yeah, it was about 6 days.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, look at that. All right, if I
well,
do
you also got to blow him occasionally.
I well, do that.
Not me. Okay. Well,
Well, back to In Living Color. David Alan Grier still continues to be the MVP, but I really appreciated a lot of the other performers. I really like the other white woman. She is a recurring character where the only bit is she's in black and white and a noir style
Kelly
character.
Kelly Cofield.
But-
Kelly Cofield.
That bit makes me laugh so hard just at the visual sight of her. And I don't know how they did it. Like, is she done up in makeup and, like, made that way? Is that a digital effect? Because I can see there is film grain on her. I don't think the skit is funny, but the effect gets me every time I look at it.
May I see your license, please?
So you want to play rough, do you? Sure, copper. I've got nothing to hide. Read it and wait.
You're Velma Mulholland?
Sure I'm Velma. Sure as 10 dimes will get you a dollar. Any more questions, Inspector, or may I be on my way?
Is this your car?
Sure it's my car. You seen me driving it, ain't you? Can't a gal go out for a couple of yoo-hoos and a carton of Luckies without bringing in the feds?
Is that the same woman who does the British accent and she's like, let's go for walkies. Time
yes.
for walkies.
Yes. Yes, that one.
Yeah, I like her. I like her too.
Hello, I'm Barbara Woodhouse. You know, men are like dogs. They scratch, they chase tail, and they're always doing things like licking your face when you wish they just curl up and go to sleep at the foot of the bed. You see, what we're going to do is keep the lead straight up in the air. We jerk them and we love them. You see, we jerk them and we love them. Now, let's you and I go for a nice walk, shall we, Tom? Come now, walkies, walkies. That's right. There we go, right through the door. There we are, dear. Walkies.
She also has her own character with Jim Carrey where they're both little kids that kind of hate each other.
Little Miss Trouble.
I love that, and I love their chemistry together, where he just is, like, coming up with, like, both the worst and most clever insults I've ever heard. Like, come on, Pocahontas, let's go!
Look at this, Parnell! It's just like that movie, The Birds! Ah! Oh! Save me, Parnell, please! Go put my eye down! Ah!
Nice try, Count Barfula! These birds have been dead and stuff for about 9 billion years.
Oh, yeah? Well, for your information, Parnell, I happen to be able to talk to the animals just like Dr. Doolittle. Look! I have an animal in my hand! Ew!
That's mature. Not!
Parnell, I've got a great idea. You'll be Tarzan, and I'll be Jane, beautiful princess of the jungle.
I don't wish to be caught in your tender trap. Besides, you look more like Cheetah, Bo Peta. I smell your stinky feet.
Like, there is some highlights in here that aren't characters I remember, but of course, we do have the introduction of Fire Marshal Bill, which does appear quite a few times this season.
Yeah, Fire Marshal Bill. There's a lot of Homie the Clowns in there. I always appreciate a lot of that. I don't know. I love how Jim Carrey is used throughout this season. Like you were saying at the very beginning, like I guess I like it when he's playing the straight man, and every time he plays the straight man, like if he's not playing a ridiculous character, he's playing the white man,
yes.
The white straight man that is getting made fun of, that's getting beat up on, or just doing stereotypical white things that are inherently racist unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love the way that he's used in these sketches, the writing behind these sketches.
And it's something different from Jim Carrey, because he's not used for race humor very much in a lot of his work. This is pretty much the only time that he's used in this way. So hearing him talk about white guilt and having to call a line about how he can deal with his white guilt and be yelled at by a black person about why he's wrong, that is a humorous gesture, as well as he is an old white man that doesn't want black people playing golf. Like, there is some uses of his race that are, like, very effective, because he does kind of read as the most white bread, milk toast kind of white boy, which plays against we talked early on that he was kind of a stick in the mud, kind of, come on, guys, what's going on, white man in most of his early films.
This is the Minister Louis Farrakhan. And what is your crime?
Well, they had a vote for affirmative action on the job today, and I vetoed it.
Why? Are you afraid that if given a position of authority in that office, that black man will repay you for your 300 years of oppression?
Yes, that's it.
Or is the real fear that you'll be standing side by side in the executive washroom and accidentally look over and be reminded of your anatomical inferiority?
You are so spot on. Please continue. I deserve this.
Well, wait, honey. I want to talk too.
Well, he pulls in the Duck Factory character that, like,
yeah, Skip Tarkington. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, when he plays Skip Tarkington in Living Color, it works so well against the outrageous egregiousness of all the other characters around him.
Yes, it does. And we got to talk more about Fire Marshal Bill. Like, the bit is he is a fire marshal that eventually causes all the destruction that he should be warning about himself.
Irony is funny.
The movie projector. Sure, looks like fun, but it can be very, very deadly. Now, let's just say you're the audiovisual helper for the day. You go to plug this baby in, and you just happen to be soaking your bunions in a bucket of water.
Oh, my gosh, I hope he's okay.
Never better. Yeah.
And so, you know, worked out the sketch, and it was the first Fire Marshal Bill is... It's so funny that the Firemen's Association was pissed. Like, they sent us all these letters, and they were picketing us. It was, eventually he became the mascot, but at first they were like, what?
It has been denounced by many Fire Marshal Associations throughout all of America. It was actually very controversial at the time.
Do you truly have to denounce parody about, yeah, really? That's all
I have
to say. Yeah, because
really? People will try it if they're dumb enough.
Fork in the electric socket, that looks fun. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
I'm going to put my hand on a gas stove.
Wee!
Do you always smoke that pipe? What if you just happen to fall asleep and then leak lighter fluid all over your house?
We happen to feed your fish and happen to have gasoline and then put it in the fish.
What if you light your Bic and these crab-like creatures come after you and you accidentally light these
things?
You ask
the
what
crab creatures to help?
That's a good option. Get a fire extinguisher. That's good, but I want the kids to ask.
I mean, I guess along those lines, there are really, like, no shit kind of warning signs all over a lot of heavy machinery. Like, don't stick your hand in the wood chipper. That seems like a bad idea. But why would you have that sign there if someone hadn't done it?
You obviously haven't had that weird kid. Oh, you didn't go to school with iPhones.
No.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't have broadband until college, my friend, 1998.
Okay, you didn't have the horrifying experience where you had the one person that's a little too online that'll just take his phone and shove it in front of you, and then you will see the most horrific thing you've ever seen.
Oh, God.
Like someone getting pulled into like a conveyor belt and getting splashed to death immediately.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to look forward to that with my kids.
It's a weird kind of bullying, but it does happen.
Oh, well, bullying, I guess. Yes, you are correct. I didn't think about it that
way. It is bullying, yeah. Like showing someone gruesome shit without their consent.
Yeah, if you don't want it and it traumatizes you, like some of this stuff is psychologically scarring.
So I think I just revealed a little too much about my high school and middle school experience.
Yeah, if you want me to cut that, just give me the word.
No, keep it in. Okay. It's funny.
Okay. Now we know why you write such dark materials. Speaking of psychologically unstable, back to A Living Color.
Yes, good transition.
Thank you. C+?
I will say that this show kind of stays on topic a lot more. There's a lot less duds. There's a lot more times jumping between things. No skit lasts too long. Like, there isn't the SNL thing where it's like, we're 6 minutes into this skit. I need to get out of there. Here, it's like, just when you're about to get sick of it, it moves on to the next thing, and I like that. The runtime is a benefit.
Yeah, it's short, it's quick, it bounces from sketch to sketch. I feel like in season two, like, they really kind of found a rhythm, literally with the dancing and figuratively with the sketches. They got their length down. It worked. It works for me. And I still remember, like, watching it in near real time. I don't remember if I was watching, like, week or two old reruns or if I was watching it live, but I remember seeing it, you know, as a kid, long before you two were ever in imagination land.
What do you think was the best skit of the entire season, and what do you think is the worst?
And that's tough, and I have to come clean that I skipped to the Jim Carrey sketches.
That's fine.
Dude, I think all of us did.
Because there's a lot to watch for one
episode.
There's 26
episodes of this season compared to the brisk, like, the 11 of season one.
I thought the
there's 30 next season.
One of my least favorites was when David Alan Greer was the high school principal with, like, the club foot.
Yes.
and besides that, Jim Carrey wasn't in it very much, which is a shame. I just didn't think it was that funny. Where he was going around being abusive verbally and physically to the students.
for your own good, son.
Hey!
You know, I think it's high time you heard Mr. McAfee's speech on drugs, Buster. Stay away from goofballs, because they make you goofy!
Please, I'm having an asthma.
For the love of Pete, look at those pupils. You're goofy right now, aren't you, mister?
I can't breathe.
Of course you can't. Why do you think they call it dope? Now that's the spirit. You know, cold turkey's the only way to get that monkey off your back, buddy. Sleep it off. That's right. Carry on.
That's
and
fair.
And kill Jim Carrey because he wouldn't give him his asthma. It wasn't even an inhaler. What is it back
it
then?
It wasn't an inhaler, I'm pretty sure.
It was pills because he was shaking it. It was like, you're taking the drugs, boy, or something.
Mm-hmm. I will say the ones that I really didn't like, and I don't know if it's just me or the joke just didn't land for me. It was the Cherub Patrol.
Like, oh, I hate those.
Jim Carrey is a self-proclaimed hall monitor of different places, and it's just really uncomfortable and gross.
No, I'm not, nor do I care to be, even if they reconsider my application.
So, who are you?
My name is Dickie Peterson, Cherub of Justice, here to protect and serve.
So what?
So get yourself a library card.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what he's going for. Cherub of Justice. That's
Cherub of Justice.
Dickie Peterson is the character's name. That is not even
Peterson.
A joke.
Dickie Peterson.
Dickie Peterson.
Both names are a penis joke. And his mom wants him to get home. And he's just like, you know, you're my best friend, right? And he's doing an accent, which is borderline Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder. It's very unpleasant.
I ain't got a good brain.
I think you've got a fine brain, Jack.
You make me happy.
And there's also the introduction of the handyman.
Yeah, those ones are bad.
He's in it. He has multiple episodes.
Yep. And that is the handicapped superhero. Their words, not mine.
Let's give a warm Justice League welcome for the newest handicapped superhero, Handyman!
Thank you. I'm a man of few words. And I'd like to say to all those who never believed in the power of the handicap, they're the new sheriff in town.
That is also deeply, deeply offensive. And let's not forget the time Jim Carrey wears brown face.
Yeah.
In
this new dual album set, unforgettable hits like You Ain't Nothing But a Hostage.
On top of the brown face, the continuing transphobia of the four Vera DeMilo appearances.
Yeah. I will say they have gotten better. It is less about, you know, isn't it funny that Jim Carrey's, there's a muscular woman and all that. It has kind of become just like Jim Carrey in pigtails does goofy stuff.
Yeah, it's more become, one joke was literally like, make your boobs small because you don't need those. They're weighing you down, which like, honest, as a semi-large chested person, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I don't need these.
I'm Vera DeMilo, and thanks for tuning in. You know, before I learned how to exercise properly, I was a poor excuse for a woman. Just look at those unsightly lumps of lard protruding from my sternum. I was so weak and frail back then, I couldn't even tear a telephone book in half. But I made that change, and you can too. So let's get busy burning off those bothersome bazoons.
I love it. And it shows his physicality, like in that same bit where it's like, cut your boobs off. He is doing things that he knows no other human being can do.
Yeah.
And watching other people try to replicate it is kind of funny.
And he still does the stomach thing from the
what
first
was,
one. periodically.
What was the sketch where he's the white guy that shows up to the family of black people, all black people, but they have butts on their heads? It's the, like, the,
yeah.
Oh, the Buttmans. The Buttmans. They were in season one, but the joke is they have butts on their heads, so.
Right, and he's got a giant
wiener nose.
Wiener nose. Yes, and then
That's a bit right out of movie 43.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen Hugh Jackman with balls on his chin. Like, this isn't even that funny to me.
Or Family Guy, where Peter becomes a Balchinian or something, whatever that was. But no, I like that sketch too, because everything was like a double entendre, and then the whole thing at the end was, can you believe it, dating that guy? He, you know, our daughter's dating a white guy. that was the zinger at the end.
Mom, Dad, Jimmy, this is Richard Dickerson.
Everybody calls me Dick. I guess it's just easier to remember.
Boy, he sure does have a big
dick place. I don't know what you mean. He's just so different.
Yeah. Who would have ever expected it? Our daughter dating a white guy.
Liz, any big thoughts, worst or best? I mean, I think your best one's got to be White Baby, based on what you told me beforehand.
It's not.
Really?
It's in the top, 100%.
Okay.
I really enjoy it. We should probably talk about that at some point after
we'll get to my favorites.
His mannerisms as Vanilla Ice are incredible. He is 100, like I said, 110% Vanilla Ice. When he goes for a character, he goes for it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, now I'm thinking about it, my favorite is honestly it's a very small sketch. It's the one where he plays Clint Eastwood by not saying a fucking word, but just making a Clint Eastwood face the whole time. It's like less than 2 minutes, but I'm just like, why is this funny? Like, this is generally, like, I enjoyed it because it was like really short and funny in like a very subtle way.
Yeah,
He's standing in the back looking like Clint Eastwood, and he doesn't even say anything.
He's excited. She's excited. Everybody's excited for... Join host Dirty Harry for Fox's new game show, where contestants spin and win.
Come on, bullet!
Win big cash. Win big prizes. Come on, bullet! Win big stuff!
It's weird because he knows Clint Eastwood.
Which
so
makes
that,
it
that
funny.
We know they've had interactions.
We know
at least
how
on
close they are
films.
And like how he's changed his career. It's
who
like,
who would have thunk that those two would be the ones?
I didn't think this would happen.
But speaking of the Senate, how about we move on to our critical corners and compare our opinions to those of critics all over the world. What have we got here today?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You've got Letterboxd reviews for us.
Yeah. Well, this isn't Letterboxd, this is Amazon, but I will explain anyway.
Whatever.
All right, so normally on this show, when we talk about movies, I quiz these two on Letterboxd reviews that are real Letterboxd reviews, and they have to guess if it's a 1 or a 5. But since In Living Color is not on Letterboxd, we are in the chaotic world of Amazon product reviews. For In Living Color Season 2 DVD, which kind of looks like a bootleg, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. Whenever I look at it, it does not look real.
I remember everyone having the In Living Color Season 1 DVD. I do not remember a single soul owning past Season 1.
Yeah, like, there's DVDs for every other season besides Season 2. It's very strange. I don't know. But it looks suspicious, so I don't know if I'd order it if I were you guys.
Looks a little sus.
Yeah, it looks very sus, but I nonetheless comb through the sus reviews.
sus
all right,
views.
What all right. we got?
So this
all
is right. the sus view.
This is the sus edition of the Letterboxd game.
No cap.
All right. Jess, you'll go first.
I go first. Jess, I am.
Guys, this section asks for a review. Not if some moron has the first season already.
That's a one.
That is a five, sir.
Damn it!
Yes.
Starting out great today.
All right. Alan.
Jess, I am.
I have gotten the wrong package. LOL.
Oh, man. That could be pleasant wrong or like, what am I doing with my life wrong?
This was in the non-English reviews as well, so it was very brokenly translated.
Okay, one star.
That is right, Alan.
Yeah, that's a disappointed wrong package, not a pleasantly surprised wrong package.
Jess.
Mm-hmm?
This show is great, but Amazon workers really need to unionize.
There's not a thing there that I disagree with, so five.
Correct.
Oh, ding ding.
When they all say things I agree with, that has to be right.
Yeah. All right, Alan.
Yes.
I must have been drinking too much when this show was on the air.
One. Yeah.
Alcoholism is good sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
You need to rewatch it with legal cannabis. Yeah.
I think weed in general might have some unforeseen side effects that we're not quite aware of yet. You know, just kind of like birth control. So just be cautious is all.
You might stop having babies. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it is weird that we have just kind of made women a control for an untested pill for the last 60 years. You know what I mean?
Wait, how is it untested after
it's
60 years?
It's very tested,
years?
Man.
I don't know. I think it's a little weird. Because there wasn't like the normal procedures when that first came out in the 70s. They just kind of released it out there and said good luck. And we haven't had like the 50 years of like what's gone on. So I'm curious.
Well, okay. Female presenter in the room. What are you, where are your opinions?
Well, I'm on birth control for an actual medical condition, so I have a very different view of things.
Yeah, I agree.
But in general, I think birth control, even if it's mild, not as tested as other things, I think it's a net positive to the world because a lot of women in before birth control kept getting pregnant on accident, and then they died before the kid was even born because of pregnancy
yes.
complications. And not to mention the creator of birth control believed in eugenics, and I don't support eugenics, but I support birth control.
Big conversations here in the In Living Color
yeah.
season 2 episode.
Anyway, I agree with birth control because it's important, and people who are female biologically shouldn't worry about having kids if they don't want them. Or say you're me and have a medical condition that requires hormones. It's nice to have it easily. So.
I agree, but I also think they should develop a male birth control or male presenting birth control. Birth
I agree
control
with
for
that
people
as well.
With penises, so that all the responsibility is not on women. And I feel like a lot of folks just are dragging their feet on that without the same rush to get it out there potential that they did in the 70s.
Jess.
Yeah.
Box was stained under cellophane wrapping.
What?
That's a five.
That's correct.
He still got the shit.
Box was hooed on a Hawaii?
Box
oh,
was
matter.
Stained
Next.
Under cellophane wrapping.
This was stained. Oh, the box. Okay.
The
right.
box
Amazon
was stained.
Product reviews.
Because it's
yes.
a bootleg DVD.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Right. Had a Sharpie that said ILCS2.
Is it like the DVDs you get in Chinatown here in New York?
Honestly, the picture does kind of look like those DVDs. So.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah. All right, Alan.
Yes.
As Jesse described.
Is. Five.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Didn't do it. One wrong.
Yeah, yep, it's
I
it's
agree
what
with
I
everything.
Ordered.
When I agree with everything they say, gotta be a five.
As described.
As described.
Jess.
Yes.
You gotta know what you're getting into in order to appreciate this series.
What I gotta do 5 years of a cultural studies course on In Living Color. The Wayans brothers. I need to do research.
There are multiple
on all their
books about In Living
shows.
Color that you could read. One written by Tommy Davidson.
You think I know how to read, Liz?
I think you know how to read because
that's
you,
why he's in podcasting because he can't read.
He's got to read.
Yeah.
If I was in any other field, it would be because I knew how to read. This is the only field that allows me to just wing it. That's a five.
Yes.
He dictates into a phone stenography machine when he's script writing.
All right, Alan.
Yes, I am
you are
ready.
Currently tied. So
I
mean, if you
wait,
don't
I've
get
gotten
this,
everyone,
you'll
I've
remain
right.
tied.
And he missed the first one. How are we tied?
There's only eight, and he missed the first one.
He went first. Okay, yeah. I'm good.
So you can win this.
Yes, you can win this or tie it.
I haven't won in a long time. I'm feeling this one.
All right. Seems like the real deal to me.
Five.
It's a one. You're tied.
No. How does it feel to lose, Alan Seals?
It feels normal.
Well, technically, no one lost. You both won, but you know.
Yeah. How does it feel to share the winner's circle?
If I didn't win, I lost, Liz. I think it's time to wrap this on up with Ice Ice Baby parody, White White Baby, where Jim Carrey plays Vanilla Ice in a wonderful little bit that is cut out of most cable re-releases as well as DVD releases, so much that it has angered most people that buy the DVDs.
I'm white, and I'm capitalizing on a trend that's currently rising. Mix it with Curly and Larry and Mo. Maybe never. I become richer with every endeavor. I'm living large and my bank is stupid because I just listen to real rap and stupid.
A very popular sketch, probably one of the most iconic sketches from the early In Living Color days without reusing a recurring character.
I thought, and like I said, I think he's incredible as Vanilla Ice.
Like, it has 5 million views on YouTube still. It is very popular. I think the only thing that has it topped as far as In Living Color and Jim Carrey goes is the Imposter music video where he does an impression of Snow. An artist no one remembers.
I don't even know.
Remember
who Snow
Informer?
Is.
That one song from the 90s? That guy.
No.
We'll talk about that soon in another episode. But it was not a good song, and Jim Carrey did the voice of a lot of the writers of In Living Color, making fun of him very well. But this is also making fun of white men trying to claim black culture in a very effective way. What is our overall thoughts on In Living Color Season 2, and is it an alrighty then or a no spank you?
Jess, you go first.
Oh, I go? Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Because you're the dissenting opinion most of the time, so I want you to go first.
It's fine. It's fine. It's like the lightest alrighty then you can imagine. I enjoy Jim Carrey in it. The brown face is kind of weird. Didn't like it. Hope he doesn't do it again. Doubt it will pop up much in the rest of his career. And yeah, Fire Marshal Bill, highlight, probably started his entire career on the trajectory it currently has. Alrighty then. Alan.
It is definitely an alrighty then, and I will give it stronger than the lightest alrighty then ever. That's pretty naysayer, you naysayer.
It isn't. It's just like, okay, you know? It's not like I'm like in love with it.
I think there's some pretty funny chuckles in there, and it makes me appreciate
Alan,
the
buddy we had to fast forward through
comedians.
Half of the show.
Yeah, we fasted through half of the show. Let's be honest with ourselves and our audience.
Not because I didn't enjoy it, but because it's a lot to binge when
you've
got
lot to watch, y'all.
A regular life. How many hours do you have to sit down if you weren't fast-boarding through the sketches
well,
he wasn't in?
Well, it's 26 episodes, and they're 20 minutes each, so...
406 minutes?
406 minutes divided by 60... 6.76666...
Yeah.
So nearly 7 hours.
Who has that time?
I don't have 7 hours.
You know what? If Bernie Sanders implemented the 32-hour work week like he is presenting now, we might have had more time to watch all of In Living Color.
Right.
So call your senators and say vote for the 32-hour
work. So we have more time to watch In Living Color. That's 30.
And quote our podcast specifically. All right, Liz, what about you?
I'm going to give it a light alrighty then. It's good. Fire Marshal Bill is funny. It's just like a lot, and it's not like life-changing or anything, but it's funny. Like, what else is there to say here? What the brown face is
it's
there.
It's funny.
The transphobia is there. Some questionable things to the handicap thing. I don't even want to get into Handyman.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really bad.
I mean, that doesn't really hold up.
It doesn't hold. It didn't hold up the minute it started. It was like, oh no. Yeah.
But they were pushing boundaries. They were being edgy.
Yeah, until it ages badly in the 2000s. But yeah, alrighty then. Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, Thank you guys for watching. Please follow us on iTunes and Spotify, Carried Away with Justin Allen. Send us an email, carriedawaypodcast@gmail.com. Our title card is created by the amazing Grace Aki. Go follow them on Instagram @itsgraceaki. This show is produced and edited by the wonderful Elizabeth Esten. Our theme song is I Choose You by the band Thanks. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off this week for bringing up Jim Carrey's brown face. I know you have vested interest in Jim Carrey stock, and that brought it down, and I appreciate you not getting your corporate interests tied up with our show. All right, anything else we have left to say before we wrap this on up?
You didn't have any awkward transitions this episode. I'm slightly disappointed.
I know. I'm slacking. Speaking of slacking, let's end this episode. I feel like Liz and I used all of our awkward transitions on the Nicholas Sparks thing.
Oh,
we
did.
Just kept using speaking of getting cucked every other second.
It eventually just became speaking of cuck, and I kept saying it.
All right, we'll see you next time on Carried Away.
Bye, everyone. Fire safety, it's important.
Let me tell you something.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.